so good to us. Amen, amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. You happy?
Amen.
You have a lot to be happy about.
Amen.
And a lot to be thankful for. Amen. I just have something I need to share with you here quickly before we get into the word tonight. Why don't you just, don't shake hands, but just turn to somebody and say, God bless you. Use hand language, sign language if you have to. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. So just something I need to share with you real quick. We got a Brother John Yarbrough sent me an email on Monday night. And in it, he said, we've been thinking about it for some time now, and we're feeling led to move on. So we're very thankful for their love and their service to the local body over the last 16 years. And we pray for the Lord's blessing in their lives. And as they follow the new path of their choosing, wherever that might lead, they did say that the Lord's leading them in another direction. So wherever that is, and we love and appreciate and treasure the many blessed times that we had together and in the presence of our King. Amen. And I'm sure that you'll all join us as we wish for peace and happiness in the next chapter of their walk. Also, Brother Greg sent us a text at the beginning of October, and he let us know that he and Sister Hannah were moving to Phoenix. He'd been working in Phoenix, and so they're going to move up there. And he said that he appreciates our prayers as they make this transition. I said, we sure will keep that in prayer. And we had some good conversation and reflected on some, you know, I've known him since he was just a little guy, you know, and means a lot to me. I'm trying to remember where we're at, Sister Baker, maybe you remember. That's what I thought, but I thought, sure enough, I'll say that and it'll be wrong. Yeah, so we were in Scotland and I get a call from Brother Greg and he's crying. He's just so happy and he wanted to tell me. He was at some meetings and he just received the Holy Ghost and he was just drunk, you know. He was underage, an underage drinker. But he called me up all the way over into Scotland to share that. I'll treasure that. And so anyway, he had discussed this with the deacons as well, which is the right way to do things. And, you know, just this has nothing to do with anybody that's left. It's instruction. If you're thinking about leaving, we'd like to have you come up and let us know and give us a chance to show our love and appreciation and give you a send-off or whatever. Anyway, Brother Greg, I was teasing him. Those of you that were at the wedding, you might recall that that I said, I now pronounce you, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Greg Baker. I'll never live that down. I don't know where that came from. Anyway, I told him, just make the Baker name proud. And he says, I will. So anyway, certainly love them very much and want the very best for them. So Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Well, here's a prayer request that you turned in, Brother Merritt, on Sunday. Didn't get read, I guess, but anyway, the Lord's come on the scene, so we thank the Lord for that. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. You still happy?
Amen.
You should be. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So this is a new thing that he's running into, right? And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Only, there you go. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto him. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. How many believes that tonight? I want to title the thought here tonight, Deliverance by His Word. Deliverance by His Word. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're so grateful for this opportunity to come together once again, Lord, with those of like precious faith. We treasure these times, Lord. It's a real highlight of our week when we come together to feed on your unfailing body word. We know that it's our very life. It's our very sustenance. Lord, we desire the revealed word in our lives. We desire that more than our daily bread. We realize that these bodies eventually will step out of them. But Lord, we realize the manna that we're feasting on from heaven is, Lord, it's bringing life that's everlasting, and it's bringing life that can live above this world that we've been placed in. And so, Lord, we're looking for that, and we want to feed on it, and we want to draw nourishment from it, so that, Lord, we'll have testimonies that come from the challenges that we face in the days that lay ahead. We love you and we thank you now, Lord, and we ask your blessings be upon each and every one. And we surely give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So we know that wherever Jesus went, he changed the atmosphere that he walked into. Things didn't stay the same. You couldn't be in his presence and not be affected by it in some way, shape, or form, some manner. Those that came into his presence, they were lifted up into the spiritual realm that they were living in. So we're all living in a spiritual realm. So when we talk about seated together in heavenly places, your spirit is already in a spirit realm, right? But when you come into his presence, you are lifted up in the spirit realm, because not all the realms of heaven right now are equal. We know that the heavens are still contaminated with devils. And so when we come into his presence, we're lifted up in the spiritual realm above where we're at on a daily basis, day in and day out. It's a higher spiritual realm. It's a realm that's positive. It's a realm that's full of possibilities. It's a realm where positive changes take place. It's a realm where hopes become realities. And it's so easy, friends, if we're not careful, it's so easy for us to get into routines in life and to accept conditions in life as something that can't be changed, something that we just have to live with. And if you live in an atmosphere that's always negative, well, then it's impossible to see a positive side, and it's impossible to see the possibilities for a positive change. You can live daily with negative and critical thoughts to the point that you don't even recognize that you are a prisoner to those thoughts and that there is another reality that you could be walking in. But wherever Jesus goes, all things are possible to them that believe. So we don't need to be bound by circumstances that we find ourselves in. In fact, I'll just go ahead and say it. A Christian is not controlled by their circumstances. We don't have to be discouraged. We don't have to be depressed. We don't have to be without hope. We don't have to remain sick. We don't have to remain unloved. We don't have to remain friendless. In His presence, all things are subject to His word. Demons have to flee. Sickness has to flee. Atmospheres of gloom and doom give way to the rising of the sun. He is a way maker tonight, friends. And all things are subject unto Him. And all things are possible to them that believe. So many times you'll find people who are constantly in and out of church. And when they do come to church, many times they come expecting to be attacked instead of expecting to be delivered. And they are just waiting for somebody to say something that can be against them, whether real or imagined. And they never leave disappointed. That's very ironic, isn't it? It's amazing. Of course, they leave worse off than they were when they came, but they're really not disappointed. They expected that to happen. And the spirits that they spend their time with, day in and day out, hate to come to church. Because where the word is, there's deliverance. You see, a person that lives daily in a condition that's always a negative atmosphere, well, then that negative atmosphere goes with them wherever they go. And they will defend that atmosphere. And whether or not they recognize it or not, they're defending those spirits. And they will run those that are around them on a daily basis, they will run them ragged by constantly trying to convince others that life is dark. And especially for them. And that people are against them and that nobody loved them. Friends, that's just not Christian. You can't be in His presence and feel that way. It's not reality. Now, if you haven't surrendered to Him, I understand why you feel that way. Because demons are bound in darkness. And you're hanging out with them. So a person like that will see themselves as victims. And guess what? They are. But they are victims of their self-created atmosphere. Because all of us create an atmosphere. Every one of us. And guess what? We're all responsible for our atmosphere. You create the atmosphere that you're walking in. So they've created a negative atmosphere about them, and they are actually enjoying the company of evil spirits that constantly fill their minds with negative thoughts. Those negative thoughts don't come from God. But they believe what they're hearing is true, and they can be so convincing to others that are close to them that they can actually get pity from them. And before you know it, those that they are close to, those that may normally be very stable, those that maybe are unemotional and not easily offended, they defend that person and then help to enable them to wallow in darkness. That's sad, friends. A Christian should never find themselves playing that part because you become an accomplice to a crime. But when Jesus comes, darkness has to flee. So that person will either be set free by the power of His word, or they will get angry and they will leave even more miserable, if it's possible, than when they came. And they will feel justified. That sounds pretty miserable, doesn't it? But it exists. And we face it all the time. Jesus faced it all the time. We say wherever He's at, there's deliverance. Wherever the word is at, there's healing, there's power. But does everybody get delivered? Does everybody leave happy? Does everybody appreciate His presence? So just knowing these things will be of no benefit to us if we fail to reach out and call upon Him in faith, believing when we are in His presence. And what an opportunity we have, friends, every time that we come together in His presence, because His presence is always positive. His presence is always about solutions. His presence always shows you a way out. You say, I can't see a way out. He'll show you. In fact, He's promised no matter what you go through, He'll provide a way of escape that you may, that you'll be able to bear it. So what an opportunity. So if we leave His presence and we're offended, if we leave His presence and we are critical, if we leave His presence and we take a negative atmosphere with us and around us, whose fault is that? It's not His fault. And sadly, the scriptures are just full of examples of individuals that come into His presence and yet miss their opportunity for deliverance. His word will deliver us. If we'll avail ourselves to it. If we'll only believe. Many times people are worse off when they come to His into His presence and then leave because they fail to recognize His presence and their opportunity in His presence. I'm going to preach tonight. Is that okay? And I'll never apologize for preaching the word. And I'll never apologize if it hurts your feelings. I'm going to preach the word. And if you're a believer, it will set you free. If you're a believer, it'll heal you. It'll deliver you. It'll encourage you. It'll lift you up. It'll cause you to have a positive confession. Simon the Pharisee in the New Testament, he invited Jesus into his home. And he was so caught up with the social event and what others were thinking and what others were doing. And his mind at the same time was also preoccupied with what it was that he was hoping to gain from this meeting. And because of that, Simon left Jesus in a corner and ignored him. And because of that, he didn't benefit from his presence in the manner that he should have. He was so concerned about his position among the people and being a big shot by holding this big meeting that he missed his opportunity when the guest of honor was in his home. And yet a sinner came in and did him a service, and he said, your sins are forgiven. She was delivered by the word. She left better than she came. We find Jesus bringing three men with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. And we realize, friends, that everybody didn't have this same opportunity. These three were with him, and they saw a cloud descending on the mountains, and they heard a voice speak from the clouds. And they saw the Lord Jesus transformed into his coming day. And it was such a special event, and they were privileged to be there in his presence. And Peter was so excited that he said, well, you know, here's Elijah and here's Moses and here's the Lord. Let's build three tabernacles. Jesus told him not to, but of course the Catholic Church did. I've been there. I've seen the three tabernacles that they built. So, what are we doing with our opportunities in his presence? We can look back into the days of Noah and we can imagine ourselves I would believe God and I would have gotten into that ark. We could look back at the time of the Exodus from Egypt and we could imagine standing by Moses and believing the message, believing God, while others stood against Moses, doubting. And we could imagine perhaps following after David when Goliath was taken down and the Philistines were fleeing and they were being chased. We could maybe imagine ourselves standing with Elijah when the fire fell and God vindicated that he was the living and true God. There was an atmosphere around Elijah. There was an atmosphere around David. There was an atmosphere around Noah. There was an atmosphere around all of these that we're speaking about. And there were also atmospheres around the people that were spoken of in the story. Amen? So we look at all of these experiences that are listed in the Bible where God supernaturally vindicated his presence among his people. And we wonder, how is it that so many failed to recognize his presence or failed to take advantage
of his presence when they were in his presence. How could some go away mad? I want to ask you that tonight. How could you possibly leave this building angry tonight when you're in his presence? How could you possibly go out into the parking lot and tell everybody about everything that made you miserable? How could you do that in his presence? What kind of an atmosphere is around you on a daily basis? That's the question. I would submit to you tonight, friends, that if you can go out that door and be angry with the word being preached, that's because you're angry all the time. You're not happy anywhere. So church is no different. Now, hindsight, we understand, is perfect vision. Looking back, we can see everything perfectly. And so it's so easy to say, well, if I would have been there, I would have taken I would have taken full advantage of the opportunity to be in the presence of Jesus. But when it comes to our day, which is actually the only opportunity that you will ever have to be in his presence, I wonder how many times he comes and we let his presence go unnoticed. And not because we aren't believers, but maybe because we're so caught up with ourselves, or we're caught up with preconceived ideas, or memories of how things were last time, or the wrong expectations perhaps. Caught up with our own problems, caught up with our own situations, caught up with our own routines, and miss our opportunity. And instead, we leave him in some corner somewhere and say, well, you know, I didn't seem too much like a service and kind of seemed kind of dead to me. How about you? And, you know, I just doesn't seem like there's much unity. Well, where were you at? Because the person sitting right next to you said, I had the time of my life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You can be assured, friends, that where two or more are gathered in his name, he'll be there. He'll come where he's invited. Whether or not we'll recognize him, he'll be there. And when we testify of negative instead of the positive, who's being glorified? Well, I'll give you a hint. It's not Christ. When we talk to one another and express our doubts and express our fears and our questioning of his leadership and the way he chooses to do things, who's being glorified? When we testify to one another about how sad we are and how bad our lives are, how hopeless things are, who's being glorified? The devil and his demons. They're just standing by. They're hearing these testimonies and they're saying, amen, preach it. That's the truth. Hallelujah. And our Lord patiently looks on and he says, you know what? They're not speaking my word. And since they're not speaking my word, they're not benefiting from it. And so this situation, this atmosphere will never change. It'll remain the way it is because they're speaking the devil's language instead of mine. You go to church meetings sometimes, friends, and you feel a heaviness. And you wonder, did somebody die? You can feel the atmosphere. We all create an atmosphere around us. Is this a funeral service? And somebody forgot to tell me that somebody died? I can just feel it. Well, it should be a funeral service. And you should be the one that dies. You should die out. Something has to die for something else to live, friends. You won't get life from your death, but life can come forth as a result of you dying out to yourself. In the message, Perseverant, Brother Bram says, we know what he did when he was here on earth. If he was back here again on earth tonight in a physical body, he would do the same thing he did then because he is the same. Is that right? So here he is, friends. He's just as much here this evening as he was 2,000 years ago. But I wonder how many are recognizing his presence when he comes near. I wonder how many are still looking for something to come while missing what he is presently doing. And then accepting a gloomy atmosphere in the meantime. Come on, friends. I understand we all get the blues now and then. We all are tempted with, with certain feelings, but we don't stay there. Temptation and wallowing are not the same thing. He has come today, friends, as the revealed word of the hour, and his word is just as sure tonight as it was when he spoke it in flesh in a one-piece robe. Sure, there's a falling away on every side, and you can point fingers to it. Sure, there's darkness pressing in on every side, and you can point to that. Sure, the world is falling. There's no foundation. Every standard is being brought down. But at the same time, friends, there are those that are not being deceived because they cannot be deceived. They are uniting at this time with him. And there is no darkness in him. They are walking in a different atmosphere from those of the rest of the world. From those that are church members even. They are living in a special time that Brother Branham called a bride time. And they are walking in his presence. Friends, I've never been disappointed in his presence. It's not possible. If we walk in Satan's presence, we will testify of how awful that presence is. Unless, of course, we enjoy it. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have a different testimony. And friends, we have a more sure testimony tonight. We have a positive testimony. We have an overcomer's testimony. Because we are walking in his presence. And we are casting out spirits with his word. Everywhere that we go, our language is changing the atmosphere. And our language is telling demons, you can't stay in my presence. They don't want to stay in your presence anyway. It's too positive for them. We don't have to accept negativity in our lives. Everything that exalts itself against the word of God is being cast down because we're examining every thought. Now, friends, if we just be honest tonight, I was meditating on this earlier in the week. I was going through a period of time where thoughts were coming into my mind that are thoughts that I have because of my makeup, thoughts that I have because of my humanness. But I know that they are not good thoughts. I know that they are not the right thoughts. And they come, and there's a temptation. Why don't you just yield to this? You know, get even, or whatever it might be, right? Lash back, or whatever it might be. Now, whatever you're going through, your own makeup. But you, as you grow as a Christian, as you mature, you recognize those are not God's thoughts. Now, you got a choice. You can give in to it or not. Right? So we're always going to be tempted. There's always going to be things that come, but what are we doing with it? So we choose, as we read that quote a week ago or so, we choose whether or not to let thoughts roost or not. And if you've been walking with him, friends, you've learned to recognize the familiar thoughts that you used to indulge in when they come knocking at the door. And we all have them. But we are choosing instead to fill our minds with his thoughts. His kingdom is come. His will is being done on earth as it is in heaven. Because I'm thinking the right kind of thoughts. I'm speaking the right kind of words. He's got a body on the earth tonight, friends. And his will is being done. And this body that he has on the earth, you know, people talk about how they're scared, they're terrorized. There's a body on the earth that's terrorizing Satan's kingdom right now. Where spirits are trembling. Literally. They're scared. All hell is shaking. It's coming loose. It's coming to an end. Satan and his angels, they are powerless against this end time church. But too often, maybe out of ignorance, maybe we've been taught wrong, too often we sit back and we wait for somebody else to be the manifestation of his word. Now I realize that you can be that manifestation tonight. It's not for great big people. It's not for Brother Quody. It's not just for certain ones. It's for every one of us. Every one of us can have an overcoming testimony every day. I tell you, friends, when we get the revelation that He's the same today as He was yesterday, and that that presence is among us once again, you will take advantage of every opportunity that you have. And you'll come to church every time the church doors are open. That's been seen in a vision. And you won't come listening to those lying spirits that tell you that church is your enemy. How ridiculous that is. You will cast those lying spirits down with His word. And you'll come not with doubts, but you'll come with expectations, because you know you're going to meet with Him and He's going to speak to you from His word. And you will recognize His presence, and you will recognize His voice. And you'll do as everyone that was ever named in the Bible has done when they recognized His presence and their opportunity. You'll take advantage of it. Friends, if your name is written in that book, you'll recognize His presence. And you will walk in His word. And you will see the glory of the Lord in a many-membered body once again. That body has already been seen. She's on the earth. She's marching. She's already been seen in her glory. I'm not losing sight of that, and I hope you're not tonight either. So where are we at tonight, friends? We aren't in the dark ages. So why the gloominess? We aren't on a hill called Luther, a little hill, or on a bigger hill called Mount Wesley. We are not on a hill called Azusa Street, but we are on the highest peak of the New Testament mountain range. We are on Mount Zion, and we are at the top. And at the top, the view is plain in every direction. There's no worry. There's no doubt. We can see clearly where we've come from. We can see clearly where we're at. We can see clearly where we're going. And we can see through the open door into that other dimension tonight. And we can hear those saints crying out, keep going, keep going, don't stop. We're counting on you. They without us cannot be made perfect. We're looking up and we can see that our redemption is drawing nigh. Hey man, keep pulling for this revelation, brother, because that's what you want to see in the church. Amen. We can see that our time with sickness is just about over. Why wallow in it when it's almost over? We can see that there's a day coming, Brother Henry, and we're real close to it, where I'll never sorrow again. We can see that there's a time coming, Sister Joyce, where we'll see Mom and Dad again. Our loved ones will come to us. How close are we? Oh, well, I'm depressed. You won't be. You wouldn't be if you saw your loved ones. And we got a promise of that. This is not a maybe or a might. This is a thus saith the Lord. And then we'll meet our King in the air. What's gloomy about that picture? What a day. What a time. What an hour. The climax of the work of redemption. Let's stop our complaining. Help me, Lord. I'm just going to preach to myself tonight, okay? You guys can all just pray for me, if you will. And I'll be the only one that makes it. I'll pray for you. You pray for me? Let's stop our complaining. Let's stop any and all negative talk. I don't think it's in the building tonight, so we're on the road to it already. Let's recognize that this is our time. We talk about Satan's Eden. It ain't his time. It's my time. Oh, but it's Satan's Eden. It does happen to be Satan's Eden for his people. But this is bride time for me. Hallelujah. This is bride age for me. This is bride hour for me. Not church, bride. So don't look for Luther's view. He's just on a little hill. It was great in that day because it was above the ground. Don't look for Wesley's bigger hill. Don't look for Azusa Street. This is a new day. And this is your time. And this is a new mountain. And it's the highest one yet. We're living in adoption time. We're living in bride time. We're living in harvest time. We're living in end time. We're living in manifesting time. We're living in sons and daughters of God coming to maturity time. We're living in the marriage of the Lamb time. You are being called tonight, friends, behind the veil. Hallelujah. Into His divine presence. Hid away in a secret place. A place where no devil can get to you. His presence is hidden from the world, but not from you. You're in His presence. This is the age when supreme power, friends, is being given to a supreme church by a supreme deity for a supreme finale. It has been given to us by a supreme sacrifice. And we don't have to take a back seat to the devil any longer. And we don't have to walk around in ignorance any longer. There's something that's been given to you in this hour that's calling you into something and out of something else. Come out of darkness. Come out of gloomy. Come out of fear and trepidation and walk in the light as He is in the light. You don't have to live tonight in fear. You don't have to live tonight in doubt. You don't have to live tonight in worry. You don't have to stand in dark shadows. There's a bright light that's here tonight. And that light is illuminating and driving away every gloomy fear and every doubt. In darkness, you see things. I wonder what that is. And you imagine it could be this or that. But when the light's on, it was just my coat. I thought a man was in my closet, but it was my jacket. Come on, friends. It's so scary when it's dark. Turn on the light and you're like, I was scared of that. Come on, friends. Get out of the closet. Get out of the dark. Walk in the light as He is in the light. It's time for us to step onto the stage, because on the stage is where the light is. For this hour, this time, the light is shining in the darkness. The darkness doesn't comprehend it, but you do. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't let the devil rob you any longer. Not one more second. Not one more minute. It's a time of restoration. Not a time of you can't have this or you can't have that or you got to live with this or that. It's a time to take your mountain. It's a time to run every squatter off of your mountain. It's a time to take a hold of every divine promise that God gave you in His Word. It's time to talk the language of a royal family. It's the time to start talking like a queen instead of a servant. It's time to say what He says with revelation. It's a time to cast out spirits with the Word. Mark 11:22, friends, will be fulfilled in this greatest of all ages as the power of the spoken Word is coming back into a blood-bought body. In Matthew chapter 8, as we read here, the centurion, he demonstrated the faith that we were told would one day come back fully into the body, into a Gentile body. This man knew that all Jesus had to do was just speak the Word. How many knows that tonight? And it would be done, because every demon has to obey God. And if His Word is spoken tonight on human lips from a believing heart, guess what? It's the same thing as deity speaking. The devil doesn't look and say, well, you're not Jesus. The devil hears the Word. The demons hear the Word. Amen. And they say, yes, sir. I'm backing up. Yes, sir. I'm leaving. If you say so. I don't want to, but I have to. They don't have a choice. We're not bargaining with them. We're not hoping. We're speaking the Word as citizens of a kingdom. Listen to this. Who is God? Brother Bram said, in this Roman, Italian, wherever he was, so he was a Gentile, the centurion. He says, Lord, I'm not worthy that you would come under my roof, and neither thought I worthy to come face you. In other words, I sent your church to meet you and to ask this question, but I have faith. I know that you're a man under authority, for I'm under authority. And you don't have to come down to my house to put your hands on my servant. You don't have to come here and say any prayer. Notice, now be sure to get this. He said, I'm a man under authority also. And if I say to this man, you go and do it, he'll do it. And if I say to this man, you come here, he'll come. I'm under authority. And them who are under me has to obey me. This is simple, friends. And he knew that he was the Son of God and that every sickness and every demon was under him. And all he had to do was just speak the word, not pray, just speak the word. That's all. And it would be done because every demon would have to obey him. Do you believe that tonight? Every demon will obey God. It has to. Everything obeys God, and it'll obey you if you have faith. Just believe when you speak. Joshua stopped the sun. Is that right? Is that true? Somebody said, all things are possible with God, nothing impossible. But all things are possible to you also. Nothing impossible to them that believe. All things are possible. Brought right down and made you if you just know who God was. Well, I'm afraid that the church doesn't know their authority. Friends, we gotta know our authority. I'm afraid the church doesn't know their authority. I'm afraid that the Holy Ghost born men doesn't realize their authority or the authority that God has permitted to his church. I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose will be loosed. I give you power over serpents, over all diseases. Oh, everything, and nothing shall harm you. Then he says, exercise your faith. Let it loose. Let God have his way. God will grant it to you. He wants this tonight, friends. This is his perfect will. For your faith to cut loose and his will to be done. The faith of the Gentiles was being introduced through this centurion. He said, you don't have to come to my house. Just speak the word. And the word was dwelling in flesh at that particular moment in time. The creator of the universe was standing right before him. And the centurion knew that the word had authority and power. So don't look for his corporal body today. He has come to us in a word coming. His word is with us. And it's a living word, friends. And if he speaks his word and it comes to your home, the word has come to your home. And where the word is, there's power. Where the word is, there's atmosphere. How do I know that it's the word? Because it's positive. Death can't stay, friends. When life is on the scene, death has to move. God is not separate from his word. Where his word is, God is. His presence is his word. And where his word is, his presence is. And Gentile faith will put his word into action. And the church says, amen. Again, in Exodus, Brother Bram says, now the Bible said that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. You believe that? Well, then, if he's the same, he's going to be the same in principle. He's got to be the same in power. He's got to be the same in every way except a corporal body. Is that right? Amen. So that's the only thing that's missing is his corporal body. But he's here. Again, and hear ye him. He says, now we believe that Christ died and rose again. You believe that? I believe the Bible teaches he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You believe that? Well, then, if he's the same, he's got to be everything the same except the corporal body. Amen. Now, that body, when it comes, time shall be no more. How many knows that? Speaking of the corporal body. Yes, when Jesus comes in his literal body, but he come now in the form of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And he lives in his church. And we are the branches, and he's the vine. He just stands in us in spirit manner and feeds the gifts of the church. How many knows that? And he said, the things that I do shall you do also. Again, in Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he says, to justify our statement of Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, if I should go tonight to some of our fine denominations, such as Presbyterian or Methodist or Baptist or Church of God or Pentecostals or whatever, Nazarene, Pilgrim, Holiness, and I'd say to them, do you believe that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Sure. Well, is he the same in every way except his corporal body? Well, there would be a question. And they would say, yes, of course. But if Christ is the same, he's got to be manifesting himself just like he did. For he said, the works that I do shall you do also. More than this shall you do, for I go to the Father. A little while and the world sees me no more. The world cosmos, which means world order, the unbeliever, will see me no more. But listen to this glorious promise. Yet you shall see me, for I, and I is a personal pronoun, I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. And you shall see me. Amen. That is his divine promise. Amen. How many can say, I see him tonight? Amen. We're not looking for anything else, friends. We're not looking for some outward show. His word has come, and his word has quickened you, and his word is now wanting to put you into action. That's why he quickened you. He's wanting to finish his work in you, through you. He's wanting to get you to quit looking down and start looking up. You look down, you get discouraged. You look up and you see that your redemption is drawing nigh. He's wanting to set your wings so that he can say to you, come up higher. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He made you an eagle so that you could come up higher and so that you could see things that are to be. Amen. And so that you could rise above all the noise and all the confusion of this age to take up your God-given position in heavenly places above where all the fallen spirits are congregating, to take up your God-given position. Friends, he'll lift you up above all the smog and all the smoke and all the darkness and all the gloom and doom and bring you into the light. Amen. To walk with you in the light. As he is in the light. How many can say, I know that's true? Yeah. Friends, I've taken off from airports. I can't tell you how many times when it's overcast, it's gloomy, and you're thinking, I just want to go back to bed, and this doesn't seem like a good day to travel, and what a gloomy day. But once that plane rises up above the clouds, it's a completely different atmosphere. Now all of a sudden, I'm happy. Now all of a sudden, I'm thinking, wow, I wanted to stay away from this. Those down below, they're still confessing gloom and doom and bad weather. But I was soaring in a different atmosphere in just a few minutes. It only takes a moment, friends, to move into that atmosphere. And the gloom and doom will lift. But you got to believe that that's possible tonight. It's not only possible, but that's the key to a Christian walk. That's the key to walking with him. Friends, you were not made tonight to grovel. How many knows that? Amen. You were made to soar. Amen. Like an eagle. You look odd when you're on the ground because you're not an earthly creature in this age. But when you set those wings and you're lifted up by the Holy Spirit into the heavenlies, you're in your element. And you are not an oddball in that element. The veil over the word has been lifted. Your eyes have come open in this hour to see your day and to see your message. And you are seeing, listen to me tonight, friends, you are seeing things the rest of the church ages couldn't see because they weren't living at the top of the mountain. It wasn't because they didn't have eyes to see. It's because they weren't in position to see it. It wasn't being revealed. What's our excuse tonight? We're at the top of the mountain. We're above the fog. We're above the smog. We're above the clouds. We're soaring with eagles. The view is so awesome up here tonight, friends. And you will never want to go back. Once you've come up to the top of that mountain, you'll never want to go back. You've been built up in faith in this hour, and you want to stay there. Once you set those wings, you don't want to become an earthbound creature ever again. But I warn you tonight, your faith will not go uncontested. I say that to you not to scare you. I say that to you so that you're prepared for what's going to come. As it was with Joshua, your faith will be challenged. The only reason there was a sun that stood still is because Joshua was put into an uncomfortable situation. Satan will accuse you of trying to walk in the place that only a prophet could walk. Has anybody ever heard that? But you see, the prophet wasn't the only eagle-type creature. We are eaglets. Come on, I ought to get a couple more amens. You say, well, a prophet is an eagle. You're living in an eagle age. And since you're living in an eagle age, there is an eagle anointing. Brother Branham said we are a special class of people. We are a prophetic class. Hallelujah. You say, well, we're not worthy of what we've been called to walk in. But we are heirs. And Jesus Christ made us worthy. And I'm not going to argue with him. Not in the way our minds think of worthiness, but in the way he calls worthy. Well, Brother Baker, there's giants in our land. Uh-huh. And those giants are contesting your inheritance, are they not? But as he was with Moses, so is he with you tonight. He's promised to be with you and even in you. Victory is yours tonight, friends. The word of God is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Now, when we face opposition, and we will, that's not the time to question. And that's not the time to hem and haw and wonder. That's the time to say, I don't care what you say, devil. This is my promise, and I'm going to walk in it. I don't care. You don't get the last word. His word is the final word. That's your time to say, devil, I've been given a word. And the prophet has passed off the scene, so he's done spoke whatever he's supposed to speak. But there's still a voice on the earth. Friends, if there's no opposition, we'd have to wonder whether we were on the right track or not. There was a time when five kings stood together against Joshua. But Joshua didn't back away. Regardless of what they said to him or regardless of what they did, he knew that the battle was over before it started. That's what you need to get a hold of tonight. I'm facing a battle, but you need to know it's over before it begins. You're still going to go through it, but the victory is yours. There's no possibility of that battle, of God not winning that battle. So Joshua knew the battle was over before it even started. And those five kings, think about it tonight. They were defeated and they ran off in every direction, but they were defeated before Joshua even went into battle. Joshua had killed so many, and the heavenly host, the scripture tells us, killed even more. The supernatural stepped in. We got the supernatural on our side tonight. There are angels. There's a battle. Michael and Lucifer are locked in a battle tonight. And there are angels that are they're seeing them. They're not just visiting judgment angels, but they're angels that are moving on your behalf for the redeemed of God. We live in an age, friends, where 200,000 demons have been released. 200,000. Oh no, I'm worried, Brother Baker. You're scaring me. 200,000, that's a big number. I want you to know tonight there's more on your side. Well, how many more? There are so many on your side that we can't count them. It's an innumerable company of angels. Hebrews 12:22, but you are come unto Mount Zion. That's where we're at tonight, the bride. Unto a city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable. Somebody say innumerable. Innumerable. That was easy for you to say. Somebody say innumerable. Innumerable. I better not say that again. I probably won't be able to say it. That's without number. You have come into an innumerable company of angels. Who can defeat us tonight, friends? Who can sidetrack God's plan? Verse 23, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. They're lining the walls tonight, waiting to come into this dimension, waiting for us to line up, waiting for us to finish this work. Waiting for us to recognize who we are, recognize who the devil is, waiting for us to cast down the accuser of the brethren, waiting for us to say, look, you can't accuse any longer. I never did it to begin with. I never did it to begin with. I never did it to begin with. It's time to speak His word, friends. It's time to say what He said with revelation. And the word will do the rest. God has confidence in you tonight, and He has confidence in His word. He made you, He equipped you, and He says to you tonight, be strong and be of good courage. As I was with Moses, so am I with you tonight. Can we take it a step further? Can we update it? Can we bring it into our day? As I was with the seventh church age messenger, so am I with the church. We're fighting in the greatest battle ever fought, friends, just as Joshua was. And there was an army that was put on the run. If the sun went down and the kings were not killed, the kings would rise back up in power. It's evening time tonight, friends. And it's a time of the setting of the sun. And Joshua needed just a little bit more time. And so he said, sun, stand still. In the evening time, there shall be light. We've been promised that. Is that right? Where did that light come from? The word. The light has come to reveal the way to defeat your enemy tonight. So that those that are lining the walls can come into this dimension and pick up bodies. Amen. When those kings were defeated in Joshua's battle, Joshua took the conquerors and told them, I want you to put your feet on the necks of the kings. I want you to put your foot right on the neck, plant their face right on the ground. And what that shows us, friends, is that the same authority that was in Joshua was now in those men. Right. Satan is defeated, friends, and he is under the power that is now in the body. You say, well, I'm just the foot. Put your foot on his neck. Put the mind of the enemy into the dirt where it belongs. Those are dirty thoughts. They belong in the dirt. I'm casting you down and I'm taking on a new mind. I refuse to think your thoughts. They belong in the dirt. I'm going to put my foot on your neck. Israel and the church. Brother Bram says, I believe we're on the borderland tonight. I was wondering about all my meetings and things and how I had to cancel them out. And I truly believe before the church can have a rapture, it's got to have rapturing faith. We can't even have faith for divine healing, let alone rapturing faith. We got to have faith that'll change and quicken this body and be taken away. I believe there's a church on its road tonight, a power of the living God that, listen to this, I believe. This isn't hope. This isn't, he believed that, but he was wrong. He wouldn't say that. I believe he saw it. I believe there's a church on its road tonight, a power of the living God that men will speak the word here and there and it'll flash like lightning. Anybody else believe that? It's already been spoke. It's already been seen. You're getting a preview of coming attractions. You're getting a preview. You still want to watch this movie? I hope so. You're in it. And there's an Oscar for Jesus Christ. He's the best actor because he's not an actor. He's the real deal. But then there's a supporting crew as well. And they're in this final film. Oh, Hollywood doesn't have nothing on us, friends. Hollywood couldn't even imagine this film that's being played out. But you can count on it tonight, just as sure as I'm standing here tonight. There's a church coming in its power. And there's men standing on the earth that are going to speak. And it's going to fall like lightning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He says, and the church is coming out. Not a psychologist. Not some of this put on and make believe. But real, true, genuine, anointed, Holy Ghost, called out church. Amen. Friends, I want to just encourage you tonight. I want to exhort you tonight as your pastor. I love you. I love every one of you. I'm praying for every one of you and praying for myself as well. I look at myself and I wonder how can these things be, but so did Mary and so did everybody else. But I believe His word. Guard your thoughts. You want to see this being fulfilled in your life? You stand against that negativity. That's the best way to tie the hands of a church. to get them confessing of what the devil's doing. We're not going to talk the devil's language. I don't care what he's doing. I'm not going to be a newspaper for him. I'm not going to imagine things about you either. I'm going to take your word for whatever you have to say. Amen. We're going to be more united. We are united. We're going to be more united. Amen. Because we're going to squeeze together so closely that the devil can't even get a credit card between us or a business card. As those stones are placed together, and we're an unlikely group, aren't we, brother? We just come from nowhere, right? Where'd you come from? Where'd I come from? Where'd you come from? Where'd you come from? And we're all together. And we're lively stones. And we've been brought together to unite, to get so close that you can't get between us. To stay with that word. To entertain only thoughts concerning the word. To speak God's language. To take him at his word, to speak his word. And the crowd around us tonight says, amen. Amen. Glory. Preach tonight. We're waiting for you to come together. We're already united on the other side. If you could just get together on your side, we will unite together. How can we unite with them if we aren't united? But I say to you tonight, we are. And if you know otherwise, don't tell me. That's my confession. That's all I'm going to look at. You say, well, so-and-so this or that. I don't want to hear about it. This body's coming together. It's coming together. The word's going to make us come together. That's the truth. It's not us. It's not us saying, well, bless God, let's try and get together. Let's have a music program and get together around that. Nothing wrong with that. You could do that. But that's man trying to do something. Let's have a soccer game and all come together. You can do that. Nothing wrong with it. But that's man coming together. We can come together around a lot of things. But the only way we can have the unity that the scripture is speaking of is by the word. So that's all I want to hear. And that's all I want to unite around. You got a testimony that you're just dying to share, but you don't know it yet. And I'm dying to hear it. Because it's going to encourage me. But we got to get our minds off of everything else. And let God give us a word that will produce a testimony. And by that we are overcoming. Come on, friends. Don't get your mind in the dirt. Don't entertain. Right now, guard your mind. Guard your thoughts. If anybody calls you with a negative testimony, hang up. Oh, that would be rude. It's rude for them to do that to you. Well, I don't feel like hanging up on them. Well, then if you aren't going to hang up, say, look, I'm sorry, but my ear is not a garbage can. My ear can't receive trash. Right? My ear is only open. You know your prophet did that one time? Your prophet was in a restaurant. He had his family. They're sitting down eating. And there was somebody sitting at another table just using corrosive language, telling a dirty story. And Brother Branham actually got up, walked over there, and he said, excuse me, sir. I can't believe that the same mouth that you're putting that good food in, all this trash is coming out. Come on. It's just the truth. You don't have to listen to that. You weren't created to listen to that. You're in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And in heavenly places, it's amen, 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 so be it. God bless you. Hallelujah. Get people leaving the church saying, oh, there's no unity. You don't come, so how would you know that? And all you do is think negative thoughts. So yeah, there's no unity because nobody here is uniting with negative thoughts. You want fellowship? Be nice. We will treat you nice. We will do things for you. But we will not fellowship with you around negative thoughts. Let's make a covenant with one another tonight. Right? Let's just say no, as Nancy Reagan said. Just say no. That was to drugs. I'm going to say no to negative thinking that turn into testimonies. I guarantee you this week there's going to be phones ringing. I guarantee you. I'm telling you ahead of time. I've seen the devil's traps. I've seen what he's done. There's going to be negative. There's going to be telephones ringing. There's going to be gossip. There's going to be this or that. You don't have time for that. You're living in a bright age. You're living in a harvest time. You're living in a rapture time. You want to listen to some, say, God, open my ears to that chorus. It's just right over the other side where they're saying, keep going, keep going. You can do it. God, let me hear from grandma. God, let me hear from mom. God, let me hear from the saints of our day. God, let me hear your word. God, let me hear your voice. You're on the winning side tonight. Let's act like it. Let's act like winners. Because we are. Winners. What expression is on the face of the winner? When they come into the winner's circle? Oh, rats. I tried so hard and I missed it. What's the look? They're like, I can't believe it. Glory. They're dragging their leg. It's hanging off. I made it. Hallelujah. Glory. Let's do it again. Well, maybe not yet, but. They're happy. Why? Because they're winners. They're overcomers. Somebody has to tell you these things, friends. And if it's my job to do it, I want to be faithful doing it. There are some that have come to this church that hate me for preaching this way. There are some that have left this church and they won't admit it. They won't admit why they left, but they left because it's too positive. They left because the demons that they want to live with every day are not happy. And therefore, they're not happy. And guess what? They want me to, my expression of love to them would be to bow down and worship those demons that they're worshiping. Listen, friends, if all you want to hear is gloom and doom and you don't want to hear anything positive, you're worshiping a devil. There ain't no devil worshipers here tonight, I'll tell you that. You didn't come to church to worship the devil. Amen? So, certainly, we all feel for whatever anybody's going through, but we're all about solutions. Listen, when I went on the job site, by definition, everything that we did hasn't been solved yet. Otherwise, why do they hire an engineer? Because an engineer is going to do something that hasn't been done before, right? And he's going to discover maybe some new laws on how to do it, or some new techniques, whatever it might be. So imagine if Joel and I went to work, and you guys are counting on us because the nation's defense is in our hands. And we come to work, and I say to Brother Joel, we don't have this part or we don't have that part. And Joel turns over and looks at me and he says, well, let's just go commit suicide. You know what? I think somebody's against us. I think this company's screwed. This company wants to destroy us. We need to, you know what, Brother Joel? We should be at a different company because all these problems, it's because of the company. It's because of the manager. It's because of the CEO. It's because of the boss. I didn't care who my boss was. I didn't care who the managers were. I just want to do my job. So something isn't working. What did I do? Did I get emotional about it? No. I looked at it and thought, okay, this isn't personal. I hope you're listening tonight. It isn't personal, right? I'm facing a problem, and I'm not even going to call it a problem. I'm going to call it an opportunity, right? I'm facing this challenge. All right, let's figure out how to solve it. We don't have to call names. We don't have to make it personal, because it isn't. So Why then, when it comes to people, does it become personal all of a sudden? Why then, when it comes to the kingdom of heaven? Why then, when it comes to church, would we? There's a problem. Okay, there's a solution. How about this? I'm sick. Well, let's make it personal. It ain't personal. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for God to be glorified. It's an opportunity for Him to prove His word to you and to everybody else. It's an opportunity for a positive testimony in a negative, otherwise negative world. Don't make it personal. Don't get bogged down. That's the lowest place the devil could take you. This and that and these people and that people. Shame on you if you're blaming other people for your life. You're in charge of your own happiness. And if you're a Christian, you ought to be the happiest person on the face. Let me put it this way. I take that back. If you really are a Christian, you are the happiest people. What are you saying? I just said it. You're living in the greatest age, the greatest amount of faith, the greatest amount of word, the greatest amount of His presence, because the mind is in a body. In a time when you can't fail. In a time when this church will not fall. We are overcomers. And they're lined up around the walls saying, we believe that, and we're coming so close. Because all we got to do is pick up that body, but you just need to do one more thing. Keep going, keep going. Amen. Don't make it personal. Don't put a face on a devil. That's your brother, that's your sister. We're all human beings. We all make mistakes. God's in charge. My life is so miserable. What God are you serving? That'd be a good question to ask, brother. Would that be fair? Oh, no, you just don't understand. My life is so much harder than everybody else. What God are you serving tonight?
Amen.
That's not the God I serve. Well, it's easy for you to say. I've had people tell me this. It's easy for you to say. You're just positive. I was the most negative creature on the earth at one time. Ask Sister Baker. No, don't ask her. Because then she'd have to say something negative, and she's not going to do that. I enjoyed bursting her bubble. I enjoyed pointing out the flaw. And I can do that because I can see the flaw. So, and your point is, genius. Come on, friends. Somebody that's always on the telephone telling you everything that's wrong with the church and that's why they're unhappy. No, you're unhappy because you want to be. And if you're a Christian, you wouldn't be doing that. Oh, now I'm really mad. Well, there's an altar. This is where you belong. Did you hear me? You think I'm stupid? You don't think I know what's going on? There's going to come a time when you're going to cross the line. So you can either bow to the word tonight or you can cross the line. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you with all my heart, but I can't do what you need to do. Humble yourself. Quit blaming everybody else. Quit tearing everybody else down. You're not a genius. The world is messed up. Doesn't take a genius to figure that out. It takes a gifted person to speak positive.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, friends. Don't let the devil, don't let him get an inch. That was a centimeter, right? Don't let him get an inch. Don't let him get a centimeter, millimeter. Don't let him get a hair. Brother Branham talked about these stones coming together in the pyramid, right? And he said those stones, when they come together in the natural pyramid, which is just a shadow of the true church, right? The body that he's building. They were so close together that you couldn't get anything between them. Said you couldn't get a business card or a credit card in between them. How about the church? If we're all saying the same thing. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Glory, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You're either going to rejoice when the word comes and allow it to wash you, or you're going to get mad and that word's going to judge you. People try and tie my hands over and over and over. Then they go, they'll spout to everybody else, well, he's bringing up something that happened in the past. I was just thinking about that today, you know, thinking about Lot and, you know, all the contention that was between Lot's group and Abraham's group. And I was thinking, Brother Joe, maybe Lot, you know, in his contention, and he's just so upset. He doesn't want to be there. He hates the message. He doesn't get it. This is all just bondage to him. And Uncle Abraham's just so positive all the time, still believing in something that's a pipe dream. And I can imagine him saying, you know what? I got a problem with you, Uncle Abraham. And Uncle Abraham says, we'll say on. Go ahead and, you know, it's good. If you got a problem, go ahead and express it. Don't go tell somebody else. Tell me. What's your problem? Well, every time you talk, I hear you talk about our great, 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 great grandfather Noah and how he got drunk. And Noah repented of that. Why are you bringing that up? Come on, friends. Wrong is wrong. If you've ever done something that was wrong and you repented, you don't care if anybody brings it up.
Amen.
You care if they bring it up because you haven't repented.
Yes.
How many people have read of where Peter denied the Lord? How many millions of people, millions of people have heard how Peter denied the Lord? Shame on us. He repented of that. Do you think Peter cares? We learn from it. How many have heard where Paul held the coats of those that wanted to stone the Christians? I can't believe you're repeating that. Well, how about this? How many have said that harlot Rahab? How many billions of times has that been said? By Jews and Gentiles. The great grandma of Jesus. And you're calling her a harlot? She was a harlot. Don't you dare try to tie my hands. Don't you dare try to put a muzzle in my mouth. I'm going to preach the word. You don't like the word will judge you. You don't come here to worship the God of your imagination. People storm out of here angry, upset, because they got a God of their imagination. And then they want to bind the preacher. They want to give him a script. You can only preach this. You don't say this and don't say that. I'm preaching the word. If you want to be set free, the word will set you free. And guess what? Guess what? You guys are here tonight because you want to hear the word. And you're glad when you hear a better way. When you get a more perfect understanding. You don't get upset. You're glad. Well, hallelujah. Devil don't want no praising God around here. I'm trying to pull over. I will here in just a moment. I don't know how you, I don't know what you did here, brother, but here we are. Working on his testimony, yeah. Somebody has to put these things before you. And if you're a born-again believer, you're not offended by it. Blessed are they that are not offended, especially by the word. There were two groups of people that walked away from Jesus because they were offended by the word. But 12 stayed there. Said, look, I'm not going to say we're offended. We don't understand everything you said, but we do know that only you have the words of life. Where would we go? So somebody has to put these things before you. Somebody has to catch the vision. Somebody has to walk in it. And you are in this promised word for this day. You're in the vision. I just got to show you where you're at in the vision. You got to see it. And you have to believe it. And you have to eventually see yourself in it and then walk towards it. Say, wait a minute, this is about me. You say, well, you know, I can see Malachi 4 in this day. That's wonderful. But don't stop there. Who else do you see? Who else is in the prophecy of Malachi 4? Is there anybody else in that prophecy? Behold, I send you him. You know why we're facing the opposition in this hour, friends? Headship has come and it's now taking authority. So everything, and Satan's against that. Headship of the word has found a body and is taking authority. So Satan is rebelling against that headship just like he did in the beginning. Goliath looked at David with his little sling and five smooth stones, and he disdained little David. He despised him. He held him in contempt. He looked upon him as if he was worthless. Isn't that what the devil says to you? Sister, you are an overcomer. You are. I know we go through trials. I know that. I can't believe how far I've come. I didn't do it. But if he can, I wish I had a movie of me 30 years ago to show you tonight. You'd look and say, man, that guy ain't never going to be my pastor. That guy's a loser. So if he can do it for me, not only can he, but he is doing it for you. That devil's a liar. We're not listening to, he's a convincing liar, but he's a liar. Take him back to the word. If he tells you something, say, oh, okay, Mr. Devil, can you tell me what chapter that came from? What book? Where is it written? Or is this just one of your little sayings? Come on, friends. Show me where God doesn't love me. Show me where he said that in his word, devil. Show me where God said, I'll never make it. He never said that. He said, I'm the way. And he said, come to me, I'll make the way for you. Let's quote him instead of listening to that snake. Hallelujah. That snake charmer. Well, you're just a little bitty runt. You're too young. That's what the devil, that's what Goliath said to David, despising his youth. He said, you know what? I'm going to feed you to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. But that didn't scare David for a moment. David said, you know, actually, that's not how this is going to go. And Goliath says, well, pray tell me how it is going to go. Well, I'm going to take your head off. You have come against the headship of the word, devil, but the word is sharp. The word is a two-edged sword, and it will remove your headship from your body. So it's time for us to face down our enemy, friends. It's time for us to declare what the word says and not what our enemy says. And it's not our responsibility to make the word do anything. I'm not on the hook. The word is. The power is in the word tonight, friends. And that power is released when we believe it and we speak it. The one that wrote that word will go with that word and bring it to pass. Thus saith the Lord. Let's stand tonight. It's a privilege to stand with you warriors tonight. I'm looking at a mighty army. Amen. I'm looking at an army that the devil looks at and says, well, they got this problem and that problem. And they're ugly and they're this and they're that and the other. I didn't say that. He's saying that, okay? Far be it from me. But I'm seeing the vision tonight. And in the vision, I see some overcomers. Amen. I see a church that's on fire. I see a church coming forth in her power. I see a church that's not bogged down by people problems. I see a church that can turn the other cheek. I see a church that's living for others. I see a church that will bow down and pray for somebody rather than get even. I see a church that's not speaking the devil's language. I see an overcoming church. I see the purchase of his blood. Coming into power, coming into authority. I see her being trained to the point where she's just going to say what he said. Amen. She'll have thus saith the Lord, or she'll keep her mouth shut. She won't try to defend herself because the Lord is fighting her battle. She will not fear, though an host would come against her. She'll not fear. They'll fall away. They'll not devour her. She'll stand her ground, friends. I see a church that's going to step from one dimension into another. Not one person, a whole church. I see a grand finale. Fireworks going off everywhere. The great crescendo. I see a victory. Think about this. I see a victory coming on the scene that hasn't been seen in 2,000 years since Jesus defeated the devil. The difference in this hour is that not all things, though our enemy was defeated, not all things were brought under the feet of the body of Christ. Wasn't time. But I see a body tonight where everything will be brought under the body of Christ. Friends, he'll not keep one from overcoming. He'll not keep one from taking a body change. He'll not take one with him to hell. He'll not sidetrack one of God's children. Every one of them, everyone whose names are written in this book is going to stand, and they're in that vision. Amen. Amen. You say, but I'm just a little this or that. I don't care what you are. You're in God's hand. Amen. God can do anything. Amen. And he will. Amen. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't you love him tonight, friends? How many can say tonight, I'm living on the hallelujah side. I'm an overcomer. I want to hear that tonight. I'm an overcomer. I'm not going to be defeated. I'm in the hands of the Lord Jesus. I'm a child of God. I'm heaven bound. I'm pursuing after a body. Amen. I'm overcoming. Amen. I'm happy. Amen. I have peace. Amen. I have joy. Amen. I have trials. Amen. I have joy. Amen. I have trials. Amen. I have joy. I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river in my soul. I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river in my soul. I got love like a fountain. I got love like an ocean. I got love like an ocean in my soul. I got love like an ocean. I got love, an ocean in my soul. I got joy. I got joy like a fountain. I got joy like a fountain in my soul. I got joy. I got joy. I got joy. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Yes, victory. I was all depressed.